Mr. President, Mr. President.
So tell me what's gonna go over there in Israel.
First we gotta get this. When we get rid of Satan.
You're live, Pastor.
I'm live?
Brian, you're detention, he on the phone, in class.
Hallelujah, are we live on everything?
Yep.
Wow. Alright. Are we there?
No, you go ahead, Pastor.
You're good.
You go ahead?
Yeah, we'll get it.
Alright, praise the Lord.
Put your mic.
Alright, Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazma.
Kol Hazma.
Elohim Tov.
Elohim Tov, Hakoz Man. God is good all the time. That's for all our Havarim be Israel. Kihim Yakol Mevin. Alright, we got Randy and Sandy here. The dynamic duo, and we're going to Randy is going to pray me in, and I'm going to speak. Praise God.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for letting us be here tonight to listen to what's going to be a great message about your return. We know it's really close, Lord. We can all feel it, and we know everything's pointing very soon. Help us to be ready, each person personally, to meet you. If there's anything that we need to repent of, let's do it. Let's abide in you, God. Just help us to finish strong.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay.
So you're live everywhere.
All right. Now, I want everybody here to understand the position that I'm in. Because I think like we have like a couple of weeks left or so, right? And I can't get my mind around not understanding what God did. So if the Lord told me your birthday, you're not going to celebrate your birthday here, and then October came and went, and then go, well, I was just listening to myself. But if it was God trying to show me that your birthday for me was never on October 26th, I just wanted to show you that you were actually born on the 17th of Heshvan, the same day as the flood. That's why I told you. If the whole thing was, so now you can understand that you were actually born on the exact same day as the flood started. And that just kind of blew my mind, like, okay, now this whole thing has gone from, you know, calling me to do this, opening a church, keeping it going for 18 years with all of our financial resources we have.
Yeah,
Pastor Vian, I'm trying to make them laugh. it's a miracle that God sustained us for 18 years, and we went from what, $60 a month, and then we moved in this place and went, and I could hear Satan like in the back, you're gonna get kicked out of there, they're gonna kick you out of there, you ain't gonna never have, you don't have enough members for that. And I was like, oh God, I gotta believe God. And so I'm just saying, God has done this whole thing, even from showing us when the church opened, where the building was going to be for it to be open, and it was on a college campus, which was kind of cool because we had a lot of young people in the beginning, and I'm talking 18 years ago. And so in 2003, when I'm standing in my living room after I did the 6,000 year count, and God's saying that this is what I want you to preach, and it's going to be hard. What do you want me to preach? End time prophecy. I want you to prepare my people to leave. Okay? I'm in the apartment like this, and God's telling me, this is what I want you to preach, and it's going to be hard, and prepare my people to leave. Okay? So when we got started, we started the church. We were getting people, talking to people about the rapture, but we had a young group. We had to talk to them about what it meant to be saved. And so it's just been a whole big thing that God has developed. Now, in the meantime, while I'm doing this, I'm learning Hebrew. I'm learning how to speak, read, and write Hebrew. And so as I'm going older and older, or better and better in Hebrew, and I remember we were in Santa Barbara, Pastor Ben bought me a book. And I did not want him to buy me that book. And that book helped me so much. It was biblical Hebrew. And it taught me that biblical Hebrew is different from conversational Hebrew. So this whole thing's been an adventure, right? And at the end of the whole thing, God says, you're not going to celebrate your birthday here. Okay. And then, oh, by the way, your birthday has never been October, because we don't have an October in heaven. We don't even think about it, okay? I mean, do you think God goes, Israel was rebirthed May 14, 1948. Do you think he uses the Hebrew month, and that's the month they celebrate there. They celebrate, I think, I can't remember if anybody knows, but it's the Hebrew month, I think it's about the 5th or something, they celebrated that there. They never say May 14th. They don't celebrate May 14th. It's not on the Hebrew calendar, right? So anyway, May is Maya or something, like some goddess. Anyway, so God would never use May anyway, right? So anyway, God wanted to show me, this is it. 17th of Heshvan. Now, get back to what you were teaching. Last year you taught that there's one date in the Bible that has never been fulfilled. The 17th of Nisan was fulfilled when Christ resurrected from the grave, because on the 17th of Nisan, the boat landed on a mountain called Ararat, reversed the curse, and that prophecy came true because Jesus resurrected on the 17th of Nisan. So, but one prophecy had never come true is the 17th of Heshvan. And only one person can fulfill that prophecy. Like, only one person could fulfill the 17th of Nisan, and that would be Jesus Christ. He's the only person could have reversed the curse. Okay, so he's the only person who could have fulfilled that. Jesus is the only one that can fulfill 17th of Heshvan, because it has to be the Holy Spirit, it has to be God and the seven churches leaving and grace ending. Okay, because that's what happened. When the flood started, grace was over. Ask anybody who was swimming. Grace was over, okay? So, yeah. Well, I don't know if it was trying to swim, but I'm just saying it was done. God's like, 120 years is over. 17th of Heshvan, grace is over. Okay, there was no pleading with God anymore. There was nothing. It was like, this is it. This is the day the flood starts. This is the day of the destruction. And that date has never been fulfilled. It's in front of us. And then I get this whole big birthday thing. So so the Lord is like, on Sunday was just telling me about how the urgency. Why aren't people more urgent about this? Why aren't people more urgent about telling people? Why aren't people more urgent? And I understand that people aren't urgent because they say, oh, they've been talking about Jesus coming for years, so I don't want to be so quick to run out and tell people, you know. And that's what on Sunday was the whole big thing, was God was like, I don't need cool people in this ministry. I need some nuts right now, okay? I need some urgency, okay? And so he's like, if we're going to save anybody, we're going to need some urgency. And then that's when Drea showed me the lady on the plane, and God was going, that's what I need right there. Because if she didn't jump up and start screaming, Jesus, 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 and Jesus, 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 and security have to get her off the plane, and they finally take her off the plane, and then finally 2 hours later, the plane's about to take off and it catches on fire. It doesn't even get in the air. It's on the runway and it bursts into flames. And everybody must have been thinking, that Jesus lady. Either they, but it's crazy, but I know one thing for sure, they would thought, oh my goodness, if she didn't do that, we'd have been in the air when that thing burst on flames, right? Yeah. So I'm just saying, Well, the Lord was saying, I need some urgency, okay? I'm going to read a scripture, and it's on your page, it's on the first page of your notes tonight. And because I want to talk about some things, and because you can take one thing out of the Bible and you can make a whole doctrine out of it and not even be true. You know what I mean? And I'll explain that to you in a minute. I'm going to turn to Acts as I'm reading this off of our page, because I may have to read more, because someone turned this scripture into their doctrine. Okay. And they're not here at church, but it became their doctrine, okay? And I've had this dream about someone sitting on our front stair after the rapture crying, and I thought about this. They made this their doctrine, and this was it. It said here, it's in Acts chapter 1. Verse 7, and it says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know. This is what they asked. Let's read verse 6 first. So when they met together, they asked the Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set in his own authority. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So she made a doctrine off of, it is not for you to know the times or the season that God has set in his own power. See there? We're not supposed to be looking for dates or times or seasons. They're set in the Father's authority, and they're not for us to be looking at. And so with that, I got to find a new church. This is not what we're supposed to be. But basically what had happened was that 2017 passed, and people were starting to mock her. And as they're trying to mock her, now she's feeling the weight of what people who have been waiting for the rapture for years have felt. Ah, the date passed. You know what we do? Well, we got to love Jesus another year. Yep. But that wasn't the case here. So this became the doctrine. And then now if you're not watching, see, when she was watching, on fire for God, right? Looking every day, hey, guess what happened in Israel today? Guess what I was reading today? It was like fire, because every day she's looking like at what prophecies are going on in the world. She's watching it. And it kept her what? Heavenly minded. Colossians chapter what, 3? Let your mind be on heavenly things, right? So it kept her heavenly minded. And I really believe this is why Jesus told us to watch. Because if we're watching, we're attentive, and we're staying ready. And since we don't know the day or the hour, or we don't know the whatever, we're like, well, I'm not going to be caught unaware. So I'm watching, and I'm staying in Christ. And it lets you, it reminds you each morning. So she made that a doctrine. And then let me see something. Yeah, we'll read that in another thing here. And he said it to him. Okay, now let's go to Luke chapter 21, verse 7 and 8. Okay. So I was trying to explain it to, I said, there's a scripture that says, obey all the laws of man. For Christians, to obey all the laws of man. You know what I mean? To make Christ look good, we should obey the ordinance that man set up, because he set up government. Now, if I made that a doctrine, I would have to tell everybody, you need to go out and get the shot, because man has ordered us to do it. And the Bible says we're supposed to do what ordinance are sent by man and be obedient to the laws of man. And since we're not being obedient to the laws of man, we're making Jesus look bad. Mm-hmm. So, but if I just read that, that would make that a doctrine and a way of life. But there are other scriptures that they told the apostles, if we catch you preaching Jesus anymore, you're going to be thrown in jail. And they went out preaching Jesus again. So it's like, was God mad at him? Like, well, didn't the authority just tell you not to do that? Okay. And then what about the three guys that got thrown in? That it's like, when you see it, bow down and worship. And they're like, nope, even if we, you know what I mean? They're telling the king, like, we're not doing that. You're crazy, right? And they don't bow down. So you can't hold that scripture like obey all the ordinance of man. Because remember, when Barack was president, there was a lady that refused to. Two men came in there to get a wedding certificate to get there. Yeah, and she was a Christian, and she said, no. She said, I'm not giving you a wedding certificate. You're two men. I was waiting for you to tell me where the girl was.
Right.
And she said, no, I'm not doing a wedding certificate for two men. So they called the police. The police came and arrested her.
Yeah,
sure. Put her in jail. Now, you think God was upset at her because she's not obeying the ordinance of man? Okay, so you can't take one scripture and make it a doctrine as if this is what God wants, okay? And you can't take something that says, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has set in his own power, okay? Because he was talking to the apostles about what? They had hoped that Jesus was coming to be king and restore Israel, and they were hoping that they would get good positions in the kingdom. That's why they were following Christ. And see, we never understood that, but that's why they were following. Some of them were following because they were looking for a good position. So even a couple of them said, hey, when you come into your kingdom, you think they were talking about heaven? No, they thought they were about to set up the kingdom now. So they said, can I sit on your right hand and my friend here sit on your left hand when you come into the kingdom? Because they thought they're about to. No, they said, it's not for you. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the God has set in his own power to do what? To reestablish Israel. They didn't ask Jesus about end time prophecy. They asked him about setting up the kingdom because that's what they were expecting. Okay. You with me? You're in Luke chapter 21. Let's go there. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 21, verse 7 and 8. You there? Okay. It says, teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? And he replied, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come claiming, I am he. Okay? And this is a bad interpretation from this translation from NIV. Okay, because it says, many will come saying that, not I am he, that's not what it says in the Greek. Many will come saying, I am the Christ. Not the Christ, I am Christ. What does Christ mean in Greek? Christos, anointed. So many, he says, make sure you don't get deceived because many are going to come and say, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. God called me to do this. I'm anointed to do this. You know, and God says, don't be deceived just because someone says, I'm anointed. Okay? So it says, the time is near, he says, that I am the Christ. The time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and rumors of war, when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now he's explaining to him everything that's going to happen before the end time happens, right? He doesn't say it's not for you to know the dates and the seasons. He doesn't say that to them, okay? If you go to Matthew, it's the same thing. He starts running off every event that's going to happen in history. World War I, World War II, famines, earthquakes. And then he gets to the point where he now talks about the end when he's going to return. And so he's giving them a step-by-step season and time. Then he gets to the part where he says about the fig tree. And now he gets to the fig tree generation. When you see this happen, know that it's right at the door. So now he's telling you about what's going to happen in 1948. Okay? So this is not, it is not God telling people, don't watch. Because if we read this, we're going to find out that Jesus keeps telling them to watch. Okay? And, okay, here, let's read this because I'm getting into this. Okay. Let's go down to, let's go back to Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And it says, and he approached Jerusalem and saw the city. He wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But it is hidden from your eyes. The day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embark against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children, within your wall. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God coming to you. Okay? So he's telling the Pharisees what? All this is going to happen because you didn't understand or recognize the time that I was supposed to be here. But if you had read your scriptures and you had studied and you were watching, you would have known that I'm the Messiah and you wouldn't be trying to crucify me. But since you weren't studying, you got all yourself all worked up in this new guy is here and he's going to try to take the priesthood away from us, and we got to make sure we get rid of him. And the whole thing was the plot to get rid of Jesus. Nobody said, hey, well, you know, I did read that a virgin was going to have a baby. It seems like this would be about the time that it's going to happen. Where was this guy born? Nobody said that, right? Nobody said, well, he came into Jerusalem today on the 10th of Nisan, and he came in on a donkey. You know what it says in Zechariah 9:9, your Messiah will come to you lowly, riding on a donkey. Did he come on a donkey? They didn't look at any of the scriptures that they were supposed to look at to know that Jesus was the Messiah. So he says, since you guys didn't study, since you weren't watching, here I am, and you don't even know it's me because you weren't even watching, okay? And that's the problem with Christians. So my question to God is it a sin for Christians not to watch? Since that seems to be the thing that gives us fire to walk for Christ. This is what the Lord said to me. If I tell you to do something and you don't do it, is it a sin? I said, yes. Did I tell them to watch? Yes. So why aren't they watching? Now, we can blame it on deception, but remember, deception is not an excuse in front of God on Judgment Day. Yeah. No one is going to be able to stand in front of God and say, well, the Jehovah's Witness Church taught me that. No one's going to be able to stand in front of God and say, well, you know, I was born in Utah and Mormonism was just big and they deceived me. You can't bring I was deceived before God. You know why? Because there's a Bible with his word in it and there's no law that you can't read it. Okay? And in Romans, God is saying everybody knows that there is a God. Now, so you can't go to God and say, I was deceived.
Amen.
So you can't go to God and say, well, my church never taught the rapture. So I was living the way I live because I knew I could just ask for forgiveness. Well, I was living that way because, you know, they've been talking about that for years and there was no urgency. Okay. And so whatever reason people bring to God as to why they, because see, I've come to realize there's Christians living lukewarm lives. They have Bible studies, but they go out for shots after work. They go to church, they sing in the choir, but they go to a strip club because their brother's getting married and he's having his bachelor party. These are Christians, you understand? So there's some lukewarm people out there. And then if you say to them, brother, you're not, I don't think you're a Christian. You judging me. What are you judging me for? Was you there when I got baptized? Hey, bro, you know, I saw you curse the lady out the other day. Well, you know, I don't usually talk like that, but, you know. But, you know, you didn't hear what she said to me. Same guy that did, this is a real conversation. I said, well, brother, if you was an orange and I squeeze you, I expect orange juice to come out. If you're a Christian, it seemed like that lady squeezed you and some pus came out. So she was, if you would have came back at her as a Christian, she would have saw orange juice and really knew that you were a Christian. So the understanding is this. It's easy to walk complacent and lukewarm.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And the more you do it, the easier it gets. To the point where nobody can talk to you anymore. Okay? And then, because once the Holy Spirit can't talk to you, He might send somebody to talk to you. And now you're arguing with people. And then it's like, okay. And so you walk around in a deception of yourself thinking, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. And I'm saying there's an urgency right now to say, examine yourself, okay?
Amen.
Here, let's,
Amen.
Okay, let's see here. Okay, I want us to go back to Luke chapter 21 and go to verse 29. If you get left behind, it will not be on my watch. Pastor Bill said they might have left, but when people leave, they do no better when they leave.
Amen.
You don't, if you leave, at least you learned. chapter 21, verse 29. And it says, he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. What's the fig tree? Israel. What's all the other trees? All the Gentile nations. Okay? Because, I'm sorry. No, I'm good. All the other nations are talked about, I think it's in the book of Numbers, chapter 9. And so in the book of chapter 9, it talks about all the nations, all the trees coming to the fig tree, coming to Israel and asking them to rule over us, rule over us. And Israel refused to rule over the trees. Israel's like, no. Why should I rule over you? Okay, so Israel is the fig tree. Jeremiah chapter 24 tells you what? Israel is the fig tree, okay? So when Christ brings up the idea of the fig tree here, he's not pulling this from nowhere. This has been talked about all in history, that Israel would be the fig tree. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did they tie around them? Fig leaves. There's going to be a nation that's going to try to cover their own sins in the future. I'm prophesying, right? So the fig tree is Israel, and God is letting them know by giving them this prophecy in the beginning. He says, he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Okay, so now we're getting into the fig tree. Once the fig tree is rebirthed, you're in the last generation. Now the whole world, after Israel is rebirthed, don't you know all of Christianity should have changed that day? Okay, because I'm talking to a Jewish woman in a Jewish synagogue, Orthodox Jewish synagogue, and she said 1948 was an incredible year, and all the Christians were talking about 1948. Somehow, because I know as I grew up in a church, there was never a pastor that talked about 1948. And I don't know if you guys can remember growing up in church and your pastor saying, by the way, Israel was rebirthed in 1948 and we're in the last generation. So somehow it became the most exciting thing in the world to Christians in 1948, and it dwindled out to don't talk about it in the church. Okay, let's continue. It says, be careful or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness and anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. You hear that? So now this is Jesus still talking. Be always on watch. What does always mean? I should look that up.
Yeah.
Be always on watch. Okay, we're going to look at that word. Pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Okay? Now, if the whole world is not watching, if I'm the enemy, and Jesus tells you to watch, and I know watching produces something in people, it makes them look to God's plan and not their own. It makes them look for the blessed hope. It gives them a whole different type of attitude in their Christian walk. So if I was the enemy, I would say, if I could get the whole church to read this, it's not for you to know the time and the season, or nobody knows the day or the hour. It could be any year, 1,000 years from now. And now you completely forget Israel's been rebirthed in 1948. 1967 already happened. It was prophesied. So you forget about the recent prophecies, like the Pharisees forgot that, hey, he arrived in Jerusalem on a donkey. Didn't we read that in Zechariah chapter 9:9? You know, so you forget about what God told you to do, and now it becomes just go to church and live your best life now. And I mean, the Southern Baptist Convention, they bring new Freemasons into new churches every year. And they preach to people the exact same doctrine. And the whole doctrine is, it's all about you and what your faith can get you from God, okay? And it's all a big psychological thing. And I can name off names, Furtick, T.D. Jakes. I can name names all. If you listen to them, Joel Osteen, all of them, they're all preaching the same message. Prosperity, how to. So I'm going to tickle your ear. And the Bible said it, didn't it?
Sure does.
It said, now, the Bible does not say that they would take them over. They said, the Bible says they will search out for teachers to teach what they want to hear. Okay? So the people that go to Joel Osteen's church, right? I was talking to my brother the other day. He was like, guy stood up in Joel Osteen's church and said, this guy is preaching the wrong doctrine. This is not the Bible. He hasn't preached about repentance or hell or the coming Christ or anything. He hasn't talked about anything. Everybody, you people need to get out of here. And Greg was like, that was bold. I said, yeah, but he was crazy. You know why? Everybody that was there because they liked what they heard. They will gather for themselves teachers who teach what they want to hear. They were there to hear Joel Osteen. You standing up is like standing up in a country music concert and saying, you people shouldn't be listening to country music, you should be listening to rap. Everybody's there for country music, right? So when the guy did that, security came and took him out, and everybody sat there, and then Joel gave a great speech, and then everybody was happy. They're like, we didn't come to hear the gospel. What was wrong with that guy?
Right.
So understand the situation that the church is in right now. They want to hear these people. They're not, these people are not overtaking them and deceiving them. They want to hear that. You understand? And God is like, Satan is going to provide you for what you want.
Yeah.
Okay? So he's going to preach what you want to hear. And it's all about you.
Motivational speakers.
It's motivational speaking. And all about you speaking. It's preaching your flesh speaking. Okay? So now if I talk about Jesus, you're bored. Because it's like, I didn't come here to learn about Jesus. I came to learn about how I can live my best life now. And I'm telling you. Okay, so this is what Jesus says. Watch and pray. Okay, now watch this. I looked it up because I'm like, okay. The word watch is agrapinio, and I don't speak Greek. So anyway, and it's a verb. So what does that mean? It's something you're actively doing. Okay? And it says to be sleepless, to keep awake, to watch, to be circumspect. I was like, well, that's not a football word. Let me look that up. So attentive and ready, but I had to look up circumspect. Circumspect say be cautious, be careful, be guarded, be discreet, be watchful, be alert, be attentive, heedful, vigilant, observant, prudent, judicious. So the Bible, so what Jesus was saying was, I'm going to tell you about the end times, and now I'm going to, every time Jesus started talking about the end times, you know what he said at the end? Watch and pray. He tells you stories. If he had watched and prayed, the man would not have been able to break into his house. He's always telling you, he's using this Greek word, meaning it's a verb, it's something you're supposed to be continuously doing as a Christian, is watching what's going on, okay? So you don't go to your church and your pastor stand up and say, we're going to do the right thing and everybody's going to get their dose today, right? And then since you're not watching, you don't even know a lie has been told this year. And you're not even... Okay. Now, the Bible is the only book in the world that authenticates itself by what has happened in the world.
Yeah.
meaning that the Bible told you what year Israel would be back in Israel before there was even a 1948. Do you know they weren't even, it wasn't, there was no such thing as the 1900s. Abraham, who is Abraham? The father of the Jewish nation, right? From Adam to Abraham, to his father began having his three children, one of them being Abraham, was 1948 years. So who counted that? Now, is in the Bible, is there a second Adam?
Yes.
So from Jesus, the second Adam, 1948 years to the rebirth of Israel. So it's like God already knew in Genesis what year Israel would be back, and it would be 1948 years after Jesus' birth, 1948 years after that, Israel would be back. So God already knew. So if God is telling you what year is going to happen, you've got to put some weight on it and say, you know what? This is the only book that told me prophecy before it happened. We're here.
Amen.
Microsoft. Code number for your cure is 060606. Zero has no value. So basically is what? 666, right? Yeah. So now, and then the ingredient that I'm going to use is going to be called luciferase. But as a Christian, you're lined up to get it. Why? You didn't read Revelation chapter 13? You didn't read where it says that 666 would be the mark? You didn't read that it said that this was coming? You didn't read? So if you're not watching, none of this. Have you ever sat and tried to talk to somebody and start telling them about the rapture and Jesus and they're Christians? And they're going, wow, they don't talk about that at my church. What are you talking about? You know, like the Lord's going to come. He's going to rapture us out of here. They're like looking at you like. You do go to church, don't you? Yeah, I've been born again since. Well, how come you don't know about this? We don't talk about that in my church.
Yeah.
Now, who gets the benefit if the church doesn't watch?
Satan.
Because the rapture happens. These people disappear who were waiting and longing for his coming. And there's a whole nother group of people that were living lukewarm, didn't have their garments on and all this, but they were going to church, right? And they don't even know what happened. Somebody after is going to have to tell them what the rapture was. So I get back to the question. Is watching a commandment from God or a suggestion? Is it a commandment or is it a suggestion?
The commandment.
It's a commandment. If Jesus told you to do it and you don't do it, what does it become?
Sin.
You're supposed to be watching. That wasn't a suggestion.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Let me go to my second page.
10 minutes.
I got two pages to go.
12 minutes.
Okay. Now, the person that told you about 1948 coming also made, let's go to Psalms 48. Let's go to Psalms 48. Anybody who was there in 1948 will tell you this is exactly what happened in 1948. Let's not even talk about Psalms 47, where it says that the leaders of the nations are going to meet and make a decision for the people of Israel to give them back the land. It says that in 47. But in 48, this is what it says. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. in the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zephon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadel. He has shown himself to be her fortress. God is in Israel, and he has shown himself to be a fortress. In what? In the 19th book of the Bible, in the 48th chapter? Does the Bible have an author? Yes. Do I get to say where my chapters are? Yes. Do I get to say where my verses are? Yes. So in the 19th book of the Bible, in the 48th chapter, I'm going to put a complete description of how the rebirth happened. Okay. He has shown himself to be, when the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. So did some kings in 1948, after they became a nation, did some other nations join together and come together to fight against Israel?
Yes.
That's in the 48th chapter in the 19th book. They saw her and was astounded. They fled in terror. Did those other nations win the battle? No, because Israel's still there, right? So trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like the ships of Tarshish, shattered by the east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God. God make her secure forever. Are they still there?
Yes.
Secure. Okay. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, you pray, your praise reaches the ends of the earth. So people know about it. This is what I'm saying. This is what the lady told me. Everybody was talking about it. The Jews are moving back to Israel. They renamed the land Israel. She said, she showed me her mark from the Holocaust, from the camp. She showed me her numbers. She said, everybody was talking about it. And then all of a sudden now, today, there's no church, all the churches. And you talk about, well, Israel, and well, what does that have to do with the New Testament? So something happened. A deceiver came along and told the church, don't worry about what's going on. You got thousands of years left. And you can have your best life now. Okay, now watch this. It says, you're right, Israel. Okay, Mount Zion, verse 11. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgment. The judgment is you're back in Israel. Walk about Zion. Go around her courts, her towers. Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels, that you may go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon, the terminal, final generation in Hebrew. Lador HaAcharon. Dor is generation. Acharon is final, last, terminal. So then in English, they write what? Go tell it to the next or the following. So then if you don't study Hebrew, which is why God told me, no. I'm going to go back to ministry school and I'm going to start the church, Lord. No. Learn Hebrew and I'll teach you the Bible. Okay? Because if I don't learn Hebrew, I don't understand that says the last generation. Okay? When is the last generation? 1948. 19th book, 48th chapter. Now, if that ain't bad enough, if I count backwards from Revelation, I come to the same book, Psalms. So if I go forward from Genesis to 19 books, I get Psalms. If I come backwards from Revelation, 48 books, I get Psalms. So God centered it right in the place where he can tell us. Okay, so let's read, then, since we're counting back 48 books, let's read 19. Let's read 19. Now, somebody tell me how many verses are in chapter 48. Or in chapter 48. 14? Okay. How many verses are in chapter 19? So here we go. We're talking about the same thing, because that 14 is noon, which is an eternal, it means eternal existence or eternal life, okay? So this, so now, this is what it says in the 19th chapter. You guys got to get this, because this is deep. Check this out. First of all, it starts off by saying, the heavens declare the glory of God. If you do gematria, put that in your gematria, and the numerical value for the heavens declare the glory of God, it will be the numerical value 888, which is Jesus, right? Now, it says that, now watch this. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. The voice of what? The sky? He said the sky is speaking to us every day. Day after day, their voice is speaking to us. How many star constellations are in the sky? Who knows? Huh? 19. How many star constellations? 48. There were 48 star constellations in the sky. How do you spell star in Hebrew? If I spell it out, my numerical value, if I spell the word star and its numerical value, you know the numerical value for star is 48. So God spelled star with the numerical value of 48. And then now he has it in the book that's telling you that the stars are telling you everything that's going to happen. Therefore, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. What's in the stars? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where we get the Virgo. Who's the Virgo? Mary, the Virgin. You go through all those star constellations, the very last one will be what? Leo, the Lion of Judah. Who's coming back in the end? The Lion of Judah. So every star constellation is telling you about the gospel. All of those stars, all 12, and then there's 3 day cons to tell you the full story of how God's going to redeem the world, and it's in the star constellations, okay? This is what the pagans tried to ruin and destroy, that Job said they've destroyed the Matzaroth, which is the star constellation. Okay, now, let's continue. It says, their voice goes out to the whole earth, the words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from her chuppah in the Hebrew. So it says the sun is like a bridegroom coming forth from a marriage canopy. Like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises from one end of heaven and makes a circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from a comb. Verse 11, by them in your by them is your servant warned. To keep them there is great reward. Who can Who can discern his error? Forgive, it says, forgive my hidden fault. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of a great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my Tzar, my rock. What's the rock? Do you know its spelling in here? It's Tzor. It's 296. The rock is 296. Is God a Trinity? Yes. 3 times 296, look it up, 888. So now God's saying even the rock is Jesus. The star constellation is Jesus. And I'm showing it to you in the 19th book, 48 books backwards from Revelation and 19 books forward. So I'm telling you when Israel's going to be born again, and I'm telling you how it's going to happen. And now that it's happened all this time, so we go, listen, this is why I'm doing this, because tomorrow I have to talk about something else. This is why I'm doing this. Scripturally, we don't have another year to talk about the rapture. That's the scary part. Scripturally, you can't say 80 years with a 7-year tribulation in 2022. Okay, so if God tells me you're not going to celebrate your birthday here, and it might my pagan birthday already passed, and then he lets me find out, no, that's because you were born on the 17th of Hezron, it's not here yet, because you know the calendars are. Okay, so the book is proven. It's given us instructions. I can't help it that other churches don't preach it. I can't help it that people don't know about it. I'm going to make some enemies trying to explain it to them. As a matter of fact, if they go back to their pastor and tell them what you told them, their pastor is going to tell them, don't talk to you no more. Because their pastor don't want you to be concerned about the rapture and going to heaven. They want you to be concerned about the benefits of tithing and how it can bring you blessings and breakthroughs in your life. So their mission and my mission are completely different.
Amen.
That's why some lady was on it trying to go, well, I think there's going to be a revival, and I think all the churches need to get together and really agree upon the revival. And I'm like, lady, you're nuts. I'm like, not in the 73rd year of Israel's birthday, I'm not preaching revival. I'm preaching the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
73 years. 80 is 7 years away. And you want me to teach me that? You want me to preach the revival and the reset of the economy? And I need to call some of these pastors and try to come to I don't have no agreement to talk about. Prepare your people to leave. Tell your people to live for God and prepare them to leave. Give them back some of their money. I'm sorry. I'm back. Boy. I'm sorry, I'm back. But I'm telling you, marketing people is a sin.
It is. It really is.
Marketing someone else's people is even a bigger sin, because he's giving you permission to watch over them.
Yes.
I'm talking about this because tonight, tomorrow we're going to talk about those 80 years. And that 80 years is important.
Yes.
Because I was watching Convergence. It's a film that they have out, and they're giving all of the dates that prophecies have come true. Tyre, the destruction of Tyre, the rebirth of Israel, how the temple was destroyed, how every stone was turned over, just as Jesus said, how in 1967 they got Jerusalem back, just as the Bible said, and all this stuff is working toward the end of that 80-year final generation.
Yeah.
And here we are in it. And people are calling me. Linda, thank you. Linda Sorcy called me and she said, I think three or four people already got their approval that they don't have to take the thing because they got their exemptions.
Amen.
And so, but we shouldn't be in this position.
Right.
I saw they had a classroom. They were showing a classroom on TV today where they had a room set up for the kids to come and get their things. And I'm like, have they started already? People are telling me, oh, it's months away. I was like, they started already?
Yep.
Do you guys know what position the world is in right now? And you want a revival so you can get more members and build a balcony? The pastor was saying he's going to build a balcony. We have big dreams. We have crazy faith and big dreams. We're going to build a balcony.
Crazy sounds right.
And I'm like, really now? Is that what you're preaching? God is not, he's not going to do a reverse button, go back and make Israel be rebirthed again, make the 19 years go by and rebirth Jerusalem again. He's not going to do all that. Make Trump declare Israel as the Jerusalem belongs to the Jews again. You know what I mean? He's not going to reverse and redo all this. He's done it for us to see it, and we're supposed to be watching so that we're ready. Okay, so let's be ready for tomorrow.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Oh.